Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. As always, thank you for joining me. Today's episode is being sponsored by Fran and Carol Kravitz. Now, Carol is the person that you will be hearing in today's episode that I talked with. They are sponsoring this in honor of their three sons, Daniel, Timothy, and Benjamin. Carol shares with us, "We are followers of Jesus and parents of six children, one that we hold in our heart but never got to hold in our arms, and five sons, three of which reside in heaven. Dan, Tim, and Ben were loving, caring, and compassionate men. They were creative and loved the arts. Dan and Ben were musicians, singers, and songwriters. Tim was adventurous, artistic, and a skilled barber. They were lovers of animals, nature, and people. Our boys were friendly, funny, and gave the best hugs. Most of all, they loved their family. All five of our sons shared a special bond with each other. Some of our happiest memories took place on Sunday afternoons following church, when we would gather around the table for a meal. We miss that crowded dinner table and the sounds of their voices and laughter. We are thankful and blessed to have not only watched them grow up, but to get to know them as adults and friends. Although their mental illness and addiction stole them away from us, we are proud of them for the courage they showed as they fought so hard for so many years to overcome it. Our remaining two sons, along with us, miss them every day. We look forward to one day being together again in heaven. Until then, we will continue to honor their memory and carry on their legacy of kindness and love." Thank you, Fran and Carol, for sponsoring today's episode in honor of your four children who are hanging out with the Lord in heaven. November 22nd is National Survivors of Suicide Loss Day, so I wanted to have a bereaver on here who can talk about this from their own experience. Now, I find it interesting how Carol wrote what she wanted people to know about her sons in the sponsorship, because she had no idea when she wrote that I wanted to title this episode Honoring Our Children Who Died by Suicide, and just the beautiful way that she honored them in that sponsorship. I was just amazed at how beautifully that ties in with today's topic. So you're going to hear a conversation between myself and this remarkable woman who you just heard has not lost one child, but she has lost three out of five sons plus the pregnancy loss, and the last one was to suicide. Now let me give you a formal introduction so you know just a little bit more about her. Carol and her husband Francis have been married for 48 years. Carol is a retired special education teacher. For over 50 years, she worked to develop programs for children and adults with special needs in the community, the classroom, and in local churches. Carol is currently a leader with Grieving Moms Finding Hope and conducts several Zoom groups each week. She's also been a speaker and a group leader for Umbrella Ministries. Carol and Fran facilitate a BASIS, B-A-S-I-S, support group for parents that have experienced child loss each month in Cape May County, New Jersey. After the inconceivable loss of her three sons, it has become Carol's desire that none of her pain would be wasted, but rather used by God to strengthen the hearts of others walking the journey of child loss. All right, so getting ready to share our conversation with you. And just after we recorded this, Dave and I took a trip out east and we got to have lunch with Carol and Fran and another bereaver couple, and it was just wonderful to meet up with them again. Carol was at one of our retreats, and so it's a real blessing for me to be able to share this with you. And let me just add real quick that even if you have not lost your child by suicide, there are some wonderful things that you will take away from my conversation with Carol. Well, hi, Carol. Thank you for joining me today to talk about such a difficult topic.
Thank you, Laura. I'm so glad to be here. Grieving Parents Sharing Hope has been a real pivotal part of my healing. So I'm so thankful to be here.
Oh, well, thank you. And we've been connected. You found me a long time ago, didn't you?
I did. I found you like in 2020, and then I'd had a loss already by that time.
Yes.
And so I just listened. I would walk and listen to your podcast. I started at number one, and I went all the way through them because walking was so healing for me. And then when we lost our son Ben by suicide, it just God had already begun to speak so much truth into my heart by then. So very grateful for that.
Yeah, I remember the emails about all of that. Well, let's start out by hearing about all three of your boys who are no longer here with you on Earth. Would you share them with us?
Oh, yes, thank you. Love to talk about our boys. So our oldest son, Daniel, he went to heaven in 2012. He was just a beautiful, gentle soul. And when he was diagnosed with depression when he was in his early 20s, and then he was given a drug called OxyContin when he had back surgery, and that started a long battle with addiction. And Daniel, he really had been prodigal for a while, but came back to the Lord. It was a beautiful thing. God gave us a gift the last 9 months of his life. But heroin addiction is a beast. And although he was walking with the Lord and doing well, it just took one urge of that demon. And he did relapse one last time. My husband and I found him, but he was just a precious big brother to all of his brothers. Just loved music, loved sports, loved people. So we
And
miss
how
him.
old was he?
He was 32 years old.
Okay, so he battled that for a long time.
He battled, yeah, he did. It was about 8 years of battle. And he'd be doing great, and then he'd relapse, and he'd get up and try it again. That seems to be the way it was for our boys. They would really, I will often think of them as being courageous because they didn't give up. They just kept going, you know. So, our youngest son, Timothy, he was battling alcohol addiction from a young age. He kind of grew up in the chaos of Ben's mental illness, and so that had a great impact on his life. He came to know the Lord when he was in rehab, which was a beautiful thing. Our other boys all received Jesus as as young people, and later on confirmed their faith. But Tim never, he was afraid he's going to miss out on too much, Laura. So he never did. But when he went to rehab, he finally did a 30-day program that changed his life. And a big part of that change was Jesus coming in. And so he, for 10 years, fought his addiction. Having some wonderful long periods of time. Tim was very adventurous, creative, beautiful. He was my mama's boy. That's how he would tell people, "I am a mama's boy," just beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes boy. And so he battled that, and we supported him the best we knew how. But after a while, I think it just became too much to try again. He lost his best friend, and then about 6 months later, he wasn't, it was accidental both for Dan and Tim, but his addiction did take him through a heart failure. So we lost him in 2019, May 28th, 2019, and he was 27 years old at the time. So another big loss for my husband and I and the brothers. And then our son Ben, who is our most personable but most needy child. Ben had a sweetness that was just so endearing, and he struggled from a young age with different kinds of mental health issues. He was a musician. He was a writer. He had a beautiful way with words. Wrote poetry. He was in several bands where they recorded albums, so we have recordings of his singing,
How
which is
precious, yeah.
wonderful. But he was diagnosed at age 12. It was, I mean, he would tell you that his elementary years were the best of his life, even though he had ADHD and he struggled. They put him on medication. He's only six when he went on medication for that, and he believed and was baptized when he was 10 years old. But when he was 12, there was a shift, and we noticed it. His mood swings were very noticeable, and so he would in the beginning he was doing a lot of self-harm, like cutting. I'm sure you've heard that before. And he was very became very dark in his writing because he loved to write, but became very dark. So we knew something very serious was going on. We were seeing it right in front of us. And he had some suicidal ideation at that age. And when he was 13, he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And that is when he had his first suicide attempt in hospitalization, was at the age of 13. So Benny, he struggled with mental illness, with an illness of the brain, about 20 years of his life. So he would go from like these manic episodes of recklessness, and then he would have depressive episodes of just darkness. And so that was at age 13 really was the beginning of that for him. So he went in and out between hospitalization. So we did hospitalization, medication, therapy, all of the things, that we could do to help him. But as a young person going through having a mental illness like that, it's really hard to stabilize. You're growing, you're in puberty, medication would work and then it wouldn't work. And so he would bounce back and forth. So those years, teenage years into his early 20s, were very difficult that way for him. But when he was stable, and they would actually use the word remission when he was in remission from his illness, he was just a beautiful, empathetic, loving, compassionate soul. And I think, that his illness, because of it, it made him more that way. He would be the first one to greet you with a smile and a hug, and he would be the first one to sit with you and to comfort you in your sadness and talk to you. So he was a beautiful, beautiful soul. But when he was unhealthy, when the illness would take over, it was heartbreaking and crushing to see what it would do to him. And sometimes it would be followed up by self-medication, which would often make things worse for him. So his life really was like a bouncing back and forth of these times. There were times, when he was in remission where he was able to, he never finished school, high school. So when he was in remission in his 20s, early 20s, he got his GED. He became a health care provider for elderly people, worked for an organization. He married, has a little had a little girl, excuse me, a little girl, and he had already given birth, he had already had another child, a son. And so that one never, there wasn't a strong relationship there between the mother. So when he was in remission, he earned his right to have visitation with his son. And so life, there were periods of time when life went beautifully for him, but it never lasted long, Laura. It was always like the crash would come, and he got to the point where he would just put himself into hospitalization. He would know, he had enough therapy to know that when these things start happening in your mind, you need to get help. And he would do that. He did that several times. But for Timmy, the loss of his brothers really caused traumatic, post-traumatic stress for him. And so when his oldest brother died, after that he was hospitalized for an episode, and he had something called EMDR to work through his trauma, but other trauma was unearthed through that from when he was 6 years old. And so that trauma, came to light, which made us understand many things, that we didn't know before. It was very difficult as a parent to think that we missed something like that. But so he actually, that was a period of his life after that therapy that he actually had some real stability after working through that. When he lost his younger brother, he was the last person to see Tim. And he was the one to find Tim.
Oh.
So that was in 2019. And after that, he really tried, but we just saw like a continual spiral for him during that time. And he would, he was good at hiding some things, and he was still having relationship with his children and with us. And but that last month or so before he left us, that was very, very difficult for him.
So he intentionally ended his life, correct?
He did. Yes, he did. He had, well, that last week, we've never seen him spiral like that before. And here's the thing that's happened with I've noticed this for all of my boys. Daniel's death was on April 28th. Timmy's death was on May 28th. So he had walked through the loss again. Benjamin's death was on June 12th. So he had just walked through the second anniversary of Timmy's death. And I think it just was too much for him. It just put him in such a dark place. And he began to spiral. And he actually, was taken to the emergency room during a few days before he actually left us. And he was suicidal. We knew he was suicidal. He had used some drugs, and we spoke with the staff. This is, it's so disappointing sometimes, our health system and mental health system, where they don't understand and come through for us. I mean, we've had this our whole experience with them, but this particular night, we told the doctor on charge about his past suicidal attempts. We talked about his mental health. He wanted to put him in rehab for drugs because he had taken some drugs that night. Ben even posted something on Facebook that said, "Don't love me anymore. Marry me with my brothers." We knew he was in that very dark place. And we read that to the doctor. We begged him, Laura, I could not have begged him more. We begged him to please put Ben into a safe place. But he did not. He released him. And then just saw him the next day, and he was not himself at all. We tried to convince him to go. So Ben, it's 30 days of your life. Just go into rehab or go into a psychiatric hospital. And he said, Mom, it's not 30 days, it's my whole life. It's my whole life. And that's where his mind was,
Interesting,
that this pain was not going to stop for him. And so, he hugged me goodbye, and he said, I love you, Mom. I'll get help. So he said, I'm going to get help. I'll be home tonight and I'll get help. But that time did not come. He did not come back. That was the last time any of us saw him. We were all just so broken because there was nothing we could say or do. The darkness is great when even, when you talk about the children, because he loved his children. They were like the best part of his life, his little boy and little girl. And it just, he was just not able to process that. His mind was so distorted that he could not comprehend what we were saying to him.
And thank you for sharing all that, Carol, because I'm positive there are those listening who have experienced the same thing. It's like feeling like it's the healthcare system's fault in a sense, because they didn't help when their child really did need a certain kind of help. It almost sounds like with him, if it wouldn't have been then, it would have been at some point, because he just could not see living out the rest of his life with this up and down, and the downs kept getting further down, and he'd have to try harder to get back up again, and just decided it just wasn't worth it.
They just want the pain to stop. Just want it to stop. And he was not, he was so loved. Loved by friends, loved by his family. There was no doubt in his mind. But when somebody is that dark, you can tell them how much you love them, but it's not
The love
filtering
doesn't overcome the pain. It
through.
doesn't,
And so it was, we did get, the door knock at 6 in the morning, and the officers coming to tell us, and They did find him at the cemetery, which was, what he said. He did what he said he was going to do, but
Yeah.
they didn't believe,
And I remember getting that email from you.
And I was on my face that whole night and trying to always keep a positive. Well, maybe he's checked himself in
Right,
somewhere.
right.
Maybe he's good, because you pray for
Yes.
the healing here until the very last minute,
Yes.
for your child. And so, but that wasn't, God's rescue was coming in a different way for our Benjamin, for Daniel and Timothy as well. That it wasn't, it wasn't his will to heal him as I prayed and prayed, my husband and I,
Right.
but
For the healing here on earth.
yeah, but we know that, that they are with the Lord, and that they are seeing clearly for the first time. I just love that picture. I've never been one to get visions, but I often visualize, their moment crossing over where the
Yes.
chains just break off, and they just look in the eyes of Jesus and they say, "Yeah, I know it was real." Because they had trouble
Yes.
believing toward the end of their lives. The two youngest ones really had trouble believing. They were angry that God made them the way they were,
Yes.
with the illnesses, and they would often just say, "It's just too hard, Mom." They saw so much loss in their lives, and I
Yes.
think this is what happens to our young people. They go, "We were 20 in our 20s, we were going to showers and weddings, and but they're going to funerals one after
Yeah.
another. They see their friends lose their battle." So it was hard to live like that, but I would often tell them that, God even understands how hard this is for you,
Yes.
and He's never leaving you. He will never leave you. You can wander, but once you belong to Him, nobody can
Right.
snatch you out of His hand, and He will never leave you. So, that's a comfort to us to know that
Right.
God had them even when life was just so hard for them.
And Mike, what a beautiful picture of them meeting Jesus face to face, because their darkness was so dark that it would make that light and that truth and that glory even more glorious and more wonderful.
It's
I,
everything. It's everything.
yeah.
To have that heavenly perspective. Because I'm asked a lot, how in the world are you still standing? All
Sure.
that loss. And
Yeah.
I would have told you, I told God, there's no way I can go through this again.
Oh my goodness.
But I've learned that God doesn't give you grace for what might happen. He gives it to you while you're walking through it. And
Yes.
so, apart from Him, He has been my anchor. He has been, His promises have sustained me, His word. We were blessed to have such a foundation of faith early on in our walk, and God's word, His presence. I mean, that's what sustains me, Laura.
Yeah. Carol, how did you navigate like the questions and the guilt that often come after suicide loss and all of this mental illness in your family? It's like, man, what did you do wrong?
Well, you do deal with that. People do want to ask that question, and and I hear it over and over again as I work with moms that I have Zoom groups with moms, and it's very specific to mental illness and suicide and overdose, because that and those questions come up, and it is there's still such a stigma attached to suicide and mental illness and overdose. I think it's getting better. I think there are some, organizations that are really trying to bring light to it. But I think you have to combat the lies of the enemy with the truth of Scripture. And that's what, of course we feel that shame, we feel that guilt. We have a million and one questions. I had so many questions for God, so
Oh,
many.
yeah.
And I had a little creek that we lived near, and I would go down there, and I would cry and scream and yell, why, Lord? I've served you all my life. I've covered these kids with your blood. I've
Yes.
prayed for them. I believed in their healing. And,
Yes.
That is something that I think is very necessary. That's lamenting. You
Yes,
know, you
yes.
cry out to God. And the Psalms became a lifeline for me during this time, just looking at the life of David and how he would just question God with just rawness, you know, that rawness. And
Yes.
I believe that God wants us to do that, that he calls us to do that. And so,
And I think he puts the Psalms there to show us
yes,
even how to do
absolutely.
that.
And I had for many years read through the Psalms. I started maybe 20 years ago. I read through them every month, five a day. And so I already had that love of the Psalms, but boy, did it really, it just became such a lifeline for me through my losses. And I began to see all so much of what I didn't see before in there. But yeah, I think that the enemy wants to shame us. The enemy wants to
Yes.
take away any peace that we might have. And I think the way to combat that is just, you know, there is no condemnation for
Right.
us in Christ Jesus, that he is sovereign over all things, that he loves me, you know, the truth that he loves me, and he's going to do what's best for me. And when he would come at me with those lies of your kids can't possibly be in heaven, you know, because
Sure.
look at their lives, look at what they did. And I go back to Romans, you know, to the chapter in Romans 8. I think I wrote it down here. Yeah, I did. I love the hope found in Romans 8, 38, 39. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus.
If
So
people could
nothing,
just see your face while you were reading
nothing,
that.
nothing, not depression, not drugs, not suicide, not wandering away. Not even saying that it's too hard to believe it anymore, like my boys.
Yes.
Nothing, nothing can separate us from his love. So when the enemy comes at me with that, you know, and those feelings of guilt, you know, I just cling. I cling to the promises, you know, I cling to them.
Yeah, and it's interesting that scripture is one of them that it's, you know, if you've grown up in the church or you've known the Lord for a long time before your child died, that scripture is very easy to believe and hang on to. But when our child dies, all of a sudden it's like, why is that so hard to believe? I believed it before, but now I'm struggling with actually believing it. But the thing is, it said nothing in the past, nothing in the future, not knowing that the death of our child was part of that in the future. Nothing in my future can separate me from the love of God or my child, separate my child from the love of God. And so that is such a good scripture to hold on to and to cling
I
to.
love that scripture. And you know, when you lose a child, some of the scriptures almost seem like they're mocking
Oh,
you. Like all
yes. You
things
just
work
want to take a
together for
marker
good.
and now that's a good point. I want to circle you back to that because you made that comment that God will always do what's best for me. And I think that is one of those things. It's like that's impossible because the best for me is to have my child here. How can God possibly think that the best thing, he works everything out for my good, the best thing for me is to have my child not here and with him? If he knew how much pain this was going to give me, you know, how could that possibly be the best? What do you tell people, Carol?
Well, I honestly believe that God has a bigger picture than what we have. You
Yes.
know, he sees the big picture, and I don't, you know. And here's the thing, God has been faithful to me my whole life. Now, some people, they blame God and they run, but I couldn't do that. I ran to God
Yes.
because he had been faithful all of my life. And where else would I go?
Right.
You have to make that choice. Where else would I go? And I do honestly believe you know, I'm like every other mom. In a minute, I'd want my child back here in my
Yes.
arms.
Yes.
But honestly, I wouldn't want them back the way they were, the pain that they were in, you
Right.
know. So Yeah, I usually just say to people that I believe that God has a big picture. I believe he's sovereign, and I believe he loves me, and he loved my boys more than I loved them, which is a lot of love. So there was something that he could see, that he knew
It's like he sees through the eyes of eternity.
he does, and we don't. We can't. We have these,
Exactly.
like, our minds are not capable of doing
Right. Our
that.
minds are here and now, the tangible here and now, but he sees everything through
He does.
eternity.
He does. And of course I'd want them back with me. And I'm so grateful for the Lord for making a way for that to happen
Yeah.
someday.
I can even get into worship and find myself in tears because of how faithful and how good God is. Even after Becca's death, I can still find myself in tears in worship in how good and how faithful he is because he got me through this. And because I have gotten to the point where I'm more happy for Becca than I am sad for me most of the time. Not
That's right.
always, but most of the time,
That's
I
right.
am more happy for Becca where she is than I am sad for me that she's not with me. It takes a while.
It does. It
It's a
does. And
journey.
I can now, like, I do visualize when I'm worshiping, I'll visualize my boys worshiping.
Yes, yes.
And
And you're doing it together.
doing it together. And it's
Yes.
like we're still their mom. Our relationship is different and they're in our future. They're still
Yes.
here, all their memories, all, so I do choose to do that often. And I think a lot has to do with choice that you choose. You choose to think this way or to, I
Or
think that
even
that.
choose that I want to think this way someday. We just heard from someone last night that their child was murdered by the dad, and they basically said, I have no choice. You don't understand what traumatic and all these terms for the different grief, complicated grief, and I have no choice, and I will always be in this darkness, and very upset that I thought that there was any way out of this because there was no choice. I don't have a choice. And when we're in first in the beginning,
That's true.
that grief, that darkness does just suck us under, doesn't it?
So raw. Yeah, it's so raw. And that is when you are blindsided like that, that is
Yes.
just such a hard place to be in. My heart goes
Yeah,
out to
but even
that.
we can choose that, but I want to get there. I don't want to stay in this place for the rest of my life. I don't want
No.
to, I want to get to the point where I can believe what you believe.
And I had years of after Daniel passed in 2012, we wanted to grieve well as Christians,
Yes, I want to do it right.
we wanted to do it right. But so, you get on Google and so you're Googling groups and what. So the first thing we found was GriefShare. There was no Mama's group back in 2012. And so we spent, our first year or two in GriefShare and then we facilitated it, got lots of tools, although didn't meet a whole lot of parents that had lost children. And then when we lost, Timmy, that's I just couldn't do that anymore. I needed to be with moms. I needed to, and that's when shortly after I found grief, I found Umbrella first, like you did. I went to an Umbrella conference first, which is a beautiful ministry, and then discovered your ministry. And that was, you were my lifeline for those, that year or two when I was, just trying to understand how this could happen again,
And I think
but
that's one of
community.
the fears that we have as parents is what if I lose another one? I
I
mean, that's a
know.
fear we have to fight. Is that something that you still fight?
Not as much as I did before, but I know that it's possible. I mean, it's happened,
Right.
but I knew that three of my children, three of my five boys, were at risk. And so yeah, I knew that, but I always prayed against it. You
Sure.
pray against it, but yeah, God had his reasons. I will someday. Well, I don't even know if I'll care when I get to heaven about the questions and the
At
answers.
that point, it's like we're all together.
But
It's
at
all good
this
now.
point, the questions aren't the answers to them aren't going to make me feel better right now. So I don't need to know all the answers to my questions to trust God. I don't
Oh,
need
so good.
that. So I do, they go through your mind, but yeah, with that second loss, you do, you live when you have children that have illnesses of the brain and addiction and, depression, all those things, you kind of live with that, thought in the back of your mind that this could happen. But honestly, it could happen, we don't know what God's, that's why live your life today for him, do, tell people how much you love them, and that's one
And
thing I'm
fear doesn't
grateful
come from
for.
God. Fear brings torment. So,
Fear is the biggest enemy.
So
Enemy.
we can choose not to live in that place of
Yeah.
torment. And like you already said, God doesn't give us grace for what might happen in the future.
Right.
He gives us
That's right.
grace for what we're walking through right
Yes.
now. And
Yeah.
if that should happen, that's what I've told myself. I've seen God's faithfulness over and over and over again. And if it should happen, He will give me the grace to walk through it day by day,
Yeah.
minute by minute, breath by breath.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Blame, shame, guilt, fear, all big enemies, big things thrown at us by the enemy. And really, it just, they're like daggers in our heart. And they just put us in such emotional bondage, in that pit. You talk about the pit a lot, slipping into that pit of darkness. And that's what happens if we allow that in,
And Jesus, he paid the price for that too.
He
He
did.
didn't just pay the price on the cross for our sin, he paid the price for our guilt and our shame.
That's
And
right.
so, with the same kind of faith, saying it doesn't make it easy, but it's the same process. It's by faith I give it to him. I keep giving it to him. I keep giving it to him. Lord, you took this for me. You paid a very high price so that I would not have to carry the guilt. I would not have to carry the shame. It's
Right.
yours to carry. It's not mine to carry.
Yep. And it's not a one and done prayer, because it just keeps coming back at you, and you just have to keep bringing it back to him, putting it in his hands.
Does it seem difficult to honor our children who died by suicide?
I have not found it difficult, Laura. I guess because I had the two other losses, I don't think of my son dying by suicide as much as I think about his illness, is what took him from us.
Now
The
that's
mental
interesting
illness.
because, like, if it was a cancer or like Becca, it was the cancer, it was the chemo, it was the treatment that saved her life at 3 that damaged her heart and ended her life at 29. So for me, the illness took her. That's, I have no problem
Yeah.
honoring that.
Yeah, and I feel that because I don't, there's still so many myths about mental illness, that, oh, if you just had enough faith, it wouldn't
Oh my
happen. Or
goodness.
if you didn't pray, if you're not praying enough, or it really
Nothing
doesn't, it's
like
not even
telling a
real.
parent it's their fault their child died, huh?
Yeah,
Because they
yeah.
weren't a
And
good enough
so,
Christian.
as every time I have an opportunity, I let people know this is an illness. Your brain, that is an organ of your body. And when the fall occurred, it impacted every part of your body. And so just like you wouldn't, would you tell somebody to just, pray your, you didn't pray your cancer away, so it's your fault. That's not,
Oh,
that's
yeah, we
not,
actually heard that. Yeah, we actually heard that with Beth
yeah.
and her amputation.
That's, it's just not, it's not
That's
truth.
not scriptural. It's
Not
nonsense.
scriptural.
That's from
No.
the enemy.
Yeah,
It's
that's right. Yep. It's not a sign of your weak faith
no. And if
that
I have a headache, I take an aspirin.
Yes.
If
Yeah.
I
That's
have,
right.
an infection in my ear, I'll take medicine. If I have, if the doctor tells me I need to take this for whatever symptoms I have, I take it. So why do we have such a hard time with the brain being an organ that can be out of whack that needs help, that needs some sort of support?
People still cling to myths, and I know that I believe that maybe churches are learning more about that. There are ministries that have gone in to try to help them to understand mental illness better, but it's a far way from being what it should be. And sometimes the church was the hardest on us, about that, or
Unfortunately.
on people, because they just don't get it. And we don't hold any ill feelings about that toward, the original church that we were in when this all happened with our son, being diagnosed with mental illness. They just didn't know. They just didn't understand it. And I think that, we just have to give grace for that. But
We have to ask God to help us to have
yeah,
the
to
grace
give
to give
that.
them,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
because we can't do it on our own,
It
can
was
we?
very difficult. It took something that was hard and made it so much harder because people didn't really know how to come alongside
Well,
of
because
us.
the people you think that should be there embracing you and comforting you and strengthening you are the ones judging you,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, for
Not always,
not always, but yeah, and I think
yeah.
it was lack of understanding for sure. Because I do believe that people loved us, they just didn't know. They
Right.
just didn't understand. So, but over the years we have found, ourselves in churches and with groups of people that really
Yes.
understand. And that has been, for your listeners to have community with
Yes.
other moms that understand loss, that is so important. And your retreat, the retreat that Fran and I got to go on,
Thank
so
you.
healing, so beautiful. You need to like do them monthly. I don't know how you would do it, but there's such a need for that. And just yeah, I think it's so important. I do Zoom groups, which I thought would never work because I'm like a huggy, need to be
Right,
with
right,
people.
right.
But the closeness
Yes.
that's come from those groups is unbelievable, and God is using it. He uses that in so many ways.
Yeah,
So
I think
very helpful.
sometimes when we can be together as a community and talk about things like this, talk about how God got us through it, share scriptures,
Yeah.
that kind of thing. I feel like this models the New Testament church more than a Sunday morning service.
Yeah.
Not that I'm
No,
against Sunday morning services, but
it
this
does.
kind
It
of thing feels more like the
yeah.
church that Jesus wanted, the
Yeah.
fellowship and the just, yeah, as just a
That's
small
right.
group, just being there for each
Yeah.
other and sharing his love and sharing the raw and real and being there for each other. And
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm 13 years out from Dan, 6 with Tim, 4 with Ben. And so these last, couple of years, the Lord has really begun to show me how to take some of that trauma and turn it into testimony, how to use that. And really this verse from Isaiah, and I know you've read this before, has really kind of become my life verse until God takes me home. It's Isaiah 54. Verse 4, and it's the sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me up and opens up understanding to his will. So we surrender our brokenness to him, and he starts to transform us. And I just feel like this verse, so especially because God had given me that foundation my whole life, and now he's put me in a place where he's saying, use that. Use that to comfort. Use those losses. Use, what I've done for you in my life. So that is something new for me to be stepping out a little more. You say yes to God, boy, and he's going to use you. For sure.
But not use you in a bad way. I mean, he's going to flow
No.
through you, is really,
Right,
he's
right.
going to flow through you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, do you feel like sharing your story has been part of the healing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was reading, I didn't write it down, but Psalm 30, where it talks about you've turned my mourning into dancing, you've taken off my mourning clothes and clothed me with joy so that I might praise you and not be silent. Those were the words that hit me. Not be silent. And so he has done this working in me, and he has used so many, my husband, he's been like such a rock, and my two sons that are remaining, they've all really poured into me too and given me strength. But God wants to hear. He wants us to tell the story. He wants us to tell our stories. And it doesn't just honor God, it honors our boys. When we tell our story, and Laura, I have a child that I've never met yet. Well, a treasure waiting for me in heaven. And so it honors that child, my fourth month, I lost that baby. And so, just it's a way for me to honor God and honor my children, to tell my story, to help mamas know that they don't have to live in guilt and shame and fear. Let them know how much God loves them and wants to just hold them in their sorrow, you know. So that's, yeah, that's all part of something God's doing, you know, in my life through this.
Oh, that sounds like a perfect way to wrap this up.
Yeah.
So, Carol, if someone wants to connect with you, how would they do that?
Well, my email address, it is CKRAWIEC 806 at yahoo.com.
Okay, and to pronounce your name, it's Carol Kravitz.
It's Kravitz, yes. Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's spelled that way, but that's how
It
you say
does
it.
not.
All right. Oh, Carol, thank you so much for being here with me today. And Lord,
Pleasure.
we're just going to pray that you just take these words and just bring healing and hope to those who are listening.
Yes, thank you, Laura. God bless.
As I said, there was so much in there for all of us, not just those who have lost a child to suicide, but for those who have, I do hope and pray that you found some comfort and maybe some needed confidence to share your child with those around you without guilt or shame. Now, I did say earlier that I had recorded this before Carol and I actually met up. I was actually in Virginia and I was sitting in the bathroom of our hotel room with a shower curtain behind me as a backdrop. We were there out east because of my dad's magic tricks and his ventriloquist dummy named Timothy. And before talking with Carol, I had been shedding some tears, and I share about that in our GPS Hope Patreon community. Let me just say that it isn't the cost of living that has gone up. That's not the only thing. Things like hosting a website, which is where we post our podcast that goes out to all the different apps, having a place to safely house email addresses, those things have gone up too. And we aren't talking just a few dollars. It's kind of like how the healthcare has taken a huge jump. Each of these things that we have to have in place to offer resources to you, they just took a jump of several hundred dollars, each one of them. And that's why we decided to join Patreon, because we really, really want to keep this podcast ad-free. Now, this GPS Hope Patreon community is a special community that wants to make sure we keep going. So they are supporting us financially on a monthly basis with either $5, $10, or $20 a month. And all three levels unlock what I share over there, such as why I was in Virginia with my dad's magic and Timothy and why it brought me to tears. This is a place I will be sharing some of the raw and real things I still deal with in losing Becca, along with short things, encouraging thoughts, things I don't go public with or share anywhere else. Now, the $10 reflection level also gives you access to three reflection questions each week based on that week's podcast topic. So you can go a bit deeper, either by yourself or with a group. The $20 a month community level also includes a monthly Zoom call with me where we talk about the previous episodes and you can ask me questions. Now, if the podcast has helped you, like it has Carol, even being a lifeline in your place of suffocating darkness, would you please consider supporting it at either $20 or $10 or just $5 a month so that we do not have to start using ads in the podcast to keep us going? I also want to remind you that I do something special every year through the Advent Christmas season to help us all get through December, which can be so rough. Most of us just want the year to be over, right? Well, every Sunday night, I go live on the GPS Hope YouTube channel, and we also share it on the Facebook page. I light a candle on my Advent wreath, and I read the entry from my book, Hope for the Future: An Advent Journey for Bereaved Parents. Now, this book has daily readings, short daily readings, through the Advent season to help us focus on the hope we have in Jesus coming as a baby for the purpose of dying, not just to remove our sins, but also to make a way for us to release our guilt and our shame and our fears, and to make a way for us to be reunited with our children forever. You can get this book as either a paperback from your favorite bookstore, or you can download a PDF copy from the store on our website. To find out more about this, go to gpshope.org/adventbook, and I will also put a link to that in the show notes. One last thing. As the days get colder, like they have been, you can wrap yourself in a reminder that keeps you warm on the inside and the outside. Did you know that we now have blankets and stocking caps along with our hoodies, sweatshirts, jackets, and long sleeve t-shirts? They are more than just soft and comfortable. They carry a message every grieving heart needs, that there is hope, that we are bereavers with hope. So get something for yourself or as a gift for another bereaver. Go to gpshope.org, click on the store tab, and then go to the Hope merchandise. Stay warm as you hold on to hope. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Laura Ann was born on November 17th and is forever 15. Timothy Kravitz was born on November 17th and is forever 27. Benjamin Kravitz was born on November 21st and is forever 32. Matthew Conte was born on November 22nd and is forever 36. We celebrate the day these children came into the world and into the lives of their families. It will always be a special day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced the week of his or her birthday, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Just fill out that form with the needed information, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week so you can hear your child's name. I do want to say thank you again to Francis and Carol for sponsoring this week's episode. You can sponsor an episode for your child if you would like. Just go to the website, go to donate, and find the sponsor a podcast episode. Send in the information. You can pick the week, just like Carol and Francis did. Obviously, they picked a week of two of their sons' birthdays, and you can sponsor an episode in honor of your child. Carol mentioned how God sees the big picture. The Bible says that we see darkly through a glass. In other words, we only see what is here and temporary, but God sees through the lens of eternity. It's a totally different view for Him and for our kids now, right? I want to close with a poem that it reminded me of called The Weaving. It was written by Florence May Alt and was made famous by Corrie ten Boom, who is a Holocaust survivor who lost her entire family in the concentration camps. It's called The Weaving. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I do not choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft-times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needed in the skillful weaver's hand as threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. Now I know it might not have been what we consider that he gives the very best. It wasn't our best for sure. But from God's view of eternity, it was his best, especially for our child who no longer has to deal with the things of this world. And they can just bask in the ultimate love and peace and glory of their new home as they wait for us to join them. If you want to honor your child who died by suicide, just go to one of our Facebook pages, public or private, and share a photo with your child's name as a comment under this week's episode. I would love to see each one of them. Don't forget to join our GPS Hope Patreon community to help us keep this podcast ad-free at either $20, $10, or $5 a month. And as you are waiting to see the upper side of the weaving that God is making of your life, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.